Hey, this is Laura.
And Steven.
And this is our podcast, Midday Musings, where we take our lunch break to talk about the things that are on our mind. Today, we're talking about the summer season and all it has in store. It's beaches, concerts, theme parks, camping, hiking, and so much more. So put on your shades, prepare for 9 p.m. sunsets, and let's get into it. Hello there, Steven.
Hello, Laura.
A very fine day to you.
A fine pre-summer's day to you as well.
Oh, yes. It is nearly summer because the sun is not going down until after 8 p.m.
Yes, I can't tell because I live in the Pacific Northwest and I'm just chilly all the time. Even though the sun is out, it's still a little chilly. But they tell me summer is coming soon, so I believe them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's all around us. People are coming out of their hibernation holes.
Oh, I know. People are smiling more these days. I like it.
Yeah, yeah. People were talking about how they're less moody now and how this period of time is very important to them for that reason.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, you get moody during the winter. I'm just moody all the time. I get more energy in the summer, but it hardly impacts whether or not I'm moody.
Well, like It's a good time to get out and do things, right? Like this PNW summer, it lasts for a few months and then it gets cold and windy and rainy and chilly again. So I think people are out there doing their best to take in all that sun and go hiking and go traveling and go to the islands. What are you thinking about doing for this summer? Do you have anything on your summer list?
Well, I have started my entree into the summer by attending the Washington State Spring Fair.
Yes,
last weekend. And to me, that's really the gateway to summer. For some people, it's the solstice. Respect. We love an equinox.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But for me, it's the outside sun activities. I even associate fairs with the summer because in California, the Mid-State Fair is in the middle of the summer. And that's like the big one where they actually get very real pop stars to do concerts.
Yeah.
And you can get like a legit, like, Britney Spears ticket back in the day, in, like, 2000.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For, like, a reasonable amount of money. I saw Britney Spears for, I think, $40 in 2002 money.
That's bananas.
Yeah, yeah. Brandy was there. Saw Bryan Adams.
What?
Yeah, authentic stars.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, so for me, the association with state fairs is summer, and it's, like, the sunglasses on, ice cream cones out, cotton candy. To me, it's like the background of summer. The soundtrack of summer is this sort of festival environment, these fairs, theme parks. That's what summer means to me.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. And there's a lot of reason for that, too. I mean, you have everyone is finally coming out of their hidey holes, and you actually see them all out there in the fairs, in these fair atmospheres. And it's like, it's nice, you know, like you kind of have a collective sigh of, oh, thank God we have sun again. That inspires me to go out and do more outdoorsy thing. Like, I'm not a big hiker, but I could be persuaded to hike, you know, in this kind of weather. It's nice. It's not 20 degrees. Like, I'll take it.
They get pretty aggressive about their hiking.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, the hiking will happen now.
Yeah, but I think we realize that hiking here is not necessarily you're going for 10 to 20 miles. Like, we went on like a midday walk, which I think some would interpret as a hike. We walked for like 2 miles. It was an hour. It was at a leisurely pace. There was no hill. There were no hills involved. I think for some, they would call that a hike.
I think if there's enough tree cover, it's a hike.
Yeah.
If you can't see a car, it's a hike.
Yeah. So like,
if there's a bridge, it's a hike.
If that's the case, I'm actually totally down for hikes. I thought hikes were much more intense. Like, you have to go into the mountains. You have to climb Mount Kilimanjaro, which I have some friends who actually did that earlier in the year. So, like, when I think hiking, I think this is a multi-day, a potentially all-day thing. Like, you're going to be summiting a mountain at the end of this hike. But that's probably not the case. I probably have, like, higher than realistic expectations of that, because that's what I do.
That is the danger of hiking.
Yeah.
It goes from quite reasonable to very aggressive, and no one will tell you the difference.
No.
And you can't tell by looking at someone what their definition of hiking might be.
No, you really can't. Like, some people, you think they probably seem more comfortable hanging out on the couch and relaxing, maybe like cracking open a beer, but they will still go on these 10-hour hikes, and like they can hack it.
Yeah, they'll be like, meet us at 7:30 at the base of Mount Rainier. And you're like, What?
Yeah. Yeah. If you're going on a hike and you're invited to a hike, like, all right, so what hikes do you like to do? How long are they? How far are they? I think that's a good question. It's kind of like, it's the same question you have to ask when you're running, because runners can go anywhere from 1 to honestly 50 miles in a single run. So you need to level set with them and go, all right, so you invited me to a run. Is this a 2 mile run at like a leisurely pace or a 10 mile run at like a PR breaking pace? Like, where are you at, friend? Like, there's a whole range of running, just like there's a whole range of hiking. So it needs to be explored before you commit.
What is the experience of running in the summer relative to running in other seasons?
Well, it's more plentiful. There are a lot
more plentiful.
There are a lot more people out running and doing things. The summer is actually when a lot of the races happen. The spring and summer is when a lot of the races in the PNW are scheduled for, because they're warmer, people like it, people are out anyway, they're feeling a little more outdoorsy. You don't see as many races during the winter. So this is actually race season for a lot of runners, to be honest.
Oh, so it's race season in the PNW?
Yeah, it is. It's race season. Yeah, like for a lot of people.
Have you got any races planned?
Nah.
Just a hard
no? No. Okay. No, like...
Cool. Sorry I asked.
No, I don't have any races planned because I'm recovering from an injury. I'm just trying to get the miles back up. But I know a lot of people are like gearing up for like the Seattle Marathon that's coming up the end of early fall time frame. There's also a bunch of other races that people have planned coming up in the next couple months. But yeah, it's race season, just not for me. For me, it's
race season,
running recovery season.
It's also camping season. Yeah. Like, you have to, on this day, the day that you hear this podcast, go on to your local campsite reservation page and decide, because it will fill up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially if you're in a camp-heavy environment. If there's a national forest near you, you get onto that national forest website.
Oh, yeah.
And select a campsite, because all of those spots are going to be gone in like a month.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a party out there. We went out camping last year with our friends, and that whole place was filled up, not just with the people that we went with, but almost every single other campsite was filled up with people drinking, hanging out, going swimming. Like, it was happening. It was like Camp City.
There were so many different levels of camper too. You have the people who wander around with their very small camping bag. So they are just a human and a backpack. Oh, yeah. And then they pop out and suddenly they have a single tent, presumably something to sleep inside in that tent, but also like cooking gear. You can't see my hands right now, but it's like a small tube.
Yeah, it's like a little stove.
Campfire stove.
A little hot plate or something that they have.
Yeah, that they use butane for. So there's like the small scale campers who are basically prepared to, if they have to, backpack for 17 days.
Yeah.
With lightweight gear.
Oh, they're so ready.
But then there are the people going past that to medium camping, which is like a full car trunk full of gear, to car camping, which is what we did, where you turn your car into a camper, to actual campers, to actual huge RVs. The RV people are always the ones where I'm like, oh my gosh, you people know how to live.
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw a bunch of families camped out around us with their giant RVs, and they just looked like palaces.
You know, I'm not going to lie, I would have zero hesitation of going camping if an RV was involved every time.
Oh, if an RV was involved every time, I would live camping.
Yeah.
Because... I'd be like, I can talk about this. I watched So Weird as a child.
Right?
This is doable for 12 months out of the year.
I just feel like you need a little more space for stuff and a little more space to stretch out when you're camping. And you can do that in an RV. You've got space to hold things and preserve things while you're figuring out where you're going to go. Whereas if you're in a tent, to me, that just isn't a lot of space to move around. And also, you don't have a lot of infrastructure. Bear comes along, you just get real still and you wait for them to pass.
It's true. Most tents are not bear-proof.
Right?
That is a major failure of their design.
Right? No, but like RV camping, I could do that. I could totally get into that. Like the car camping, I think we did a pretty good job of it, where we turned our SUV into a mini campsite. We definitely should have rolled the windows down though the first night.
Oh my gosh, well, that's, remember that? That's what camping is about, learning.
Folks out there listening to this, you should know we almost suffocated the first night.
in a super chill, fun way.
In a super chill, fun way. But seriously, like, so we went to sleep the first night. We camped out in our SUV, basically flattened out the backseat, put down a mattress, and closed the windows and turned on a fan. Didn't realize, oh shoot, by doing that, we're just going to keep breathing recycled air and all the carbon dioxide that we're exhaling is just going back into our lungs. So I woke up at like 2 a.m. and went, Laura, I think I need to roll down the windows. And you're like, we need to, or we're going to die. we can either suffocate, or I can turn on the car. We were both like, I think we should roll the windows down.
Yeah.
We're going to annoy them.
We debated like the best way to do it. Yeah. We tried to figure out how to do it without turning on the car, but that's not what we were bringing to this camping trip. We were not bringing manual window rolling down apparatus.
So at a certain point, we just said, all right, fine, we're just going to have to turn on the car.
Oh, we terrified a poor data scientist
who
thought he was going to be crushed.
Yeah, his tent was like right behind our car. And he's like, why is the car turning on in the middle of the night? Am I going to die? So
before you go to sleep at night, if you're car camping, go ahead and roll down the windows and put one of those fun mosquito nets on there. It's great.
Just roll down the windows. That way you don't wake up in the middle of the night and have to deal with that. So lesson learned. The other nights were much more pleasant after we figured out that hack. But there you go. We weren't super, super versed in camping.
Yeah. Okay. So would camp again, 10 out of 10, particularly if a vehicle is involved. What about picnics? What about summer concerts in the park?
I am all for that. Here's why. You get to bring your own food. You get to set up on the lawn. It's outdoor. You're not overnight anywhere. And you get music, you know? Mm-hmm. I am so about that. Whether it's going out and setting up a picnic in the middle of a park and just enjoying nature, or going to like a music festival or something that just happens to be performing in your city. Like, I am a big fan of that. So I could do that all day.
Yeah. I feel like I might need to hit a music festival.
Dude, let's do it.
Which one? Hard to know.
Let's hit them all up. Let's go to every single one.
Every single one.
Every single one.
All right. Well, Coachella's over, so...
we'll get in for next year.
Hey, I don't know if I want that.
Oh, I know, right? Oh, do you remember that that fake article on April 1st that claimed that Coachella was moving to the Pacific Northwest?
Yes, I do.
Oh, man. I felt so bad to realize that was just a joke article.
See, this is the trouble with news feeds. Like, they don't give you information in a time-bound fashion.
No.
They're like, here's some stuff from the week. So you might be perusing your social media feed on April 4th, for example.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, look, a news source that I trust has just told me that Coachella is relocating from Indio Valley to somewhere nearby me. That would be glorious.
Yeah.
But no, it's an April Fool's joke that is being served to you out of the timeline.
Right.
And it's just a liar that'll make you look stupid at parties.
Yeah, that was unfortunate. So no, Coachella is not moving to the Pacific Northwest. However, I would like to get back there at some point. I think that's a great summer, spring activity. But yeah, in general, just music concerts, mm-hmm. music festivals. Mm-hmm. I would be down to hit at least one. And also another summer activity, exploring like some of the local islands, get on a boat and go visit an island.
Yeah. We love an island.
Yeah.
If you're landlocked, sorry, maybe you put together islands using water and know-how.
Hey, if you're landlocked, you got lakes, you got rivers. When I lived up in Northern California, we were maybe 6 to 8 hours from the beach. So we would go to the river. We would go and like swim in a lake. You know,
you are also only ever a few hours outside of building a moat.
It's true.
And a moat will make anything an island.
Ooh, nice. You're getting like some beaver technology. You're just like manipulating waterways to suit your ends. I love it.
Yeah. What about summer cabins?
Ooh.
Are you a summer cabin guy? Are you a winter cabin guy?
I am an all-time cabin guy because though I love my technology and I am clearly addicted to it, I do love a nice screen break that lasts for a couple days and involves being in a cabin and just hanging out with friends and talking and like maybe cooking something over a fire, maybe s'mores, maybe there's a hot tub in this wintry cabin, like outside of this wintry cabin. So you get to experience both the cozy indoor warmness, followed by the shock of going to the outside wintry palace area and then jumping back into the hot tub. Yes, I'm a big fan of cabins in general, whether they're winter, whether they're summer. I love it.
It sounds like winter, though, is your cabin time based on what you've said.
Well, I don't have a preference. Either one is great, honestly. Like, just a cabin is good. I remember there was this one that we went to up in Northern California when we used to live there that was just an off-the-grid cabin that this guy had, like, just built himself. It was impressive, like a multi-level community center. It was a lot of fun.
This man may or may not have been a member of a decentralized cult.
That is true. We saw some literature around his house that was like, it was a little alien adjacent. It was a little like, I don't know, there were a lot of eyes on things that shouldn't have eyes, if that makes sense.
I mean, that's the trouble with cults and like fringe folks in general. They have some excellent cabins.
Yeah.
They're very cabin invested, and I have to say it's a plus.
Dude, yeah. Like, this guy had not just that giant community center, but he had like three different other cabins that he was Airbnb-ing out. He was just a chiropractor that worked in the local area and was maybe part of a fringe cult. We don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, like they prep, you know, and like they have a lot of stuff that you can use. Like, I'm kind of a city guy, so I don't really have that impulse or that skill set to like build a cabin and know how to set up like a toilet in the middle of nowhere that doesn't involve plumbing, a compost toilet. But I do like taking advantage of it and just disconnecting from technology. It's refreshing.
Yeah. What about beach days?
Beach days, okay, it depends. Winter beach days, no. Summer beach days, yes. There is something about people in cold plunges recently that I respect it. I love that they want to do it. I'm here for it, but it's just not for me. Just like cold showers aren't for me. Like, if I'm going to get in the water, I want it to be warm. But hanging out at the beach, maybe doing some volleyball or like running around at the beach and like doing a picnic at the beach, that sounds great. That sounds fun.
I'm getting to the age where I'm like, you know what I need? An overhang at the beach. Like one of those pop-up overhangs. I think that is choice beach going.
Ooh, yes.
Like,
yes.
You put up the overhang, everyone sets up their little towels and their blankets underneath the overhang. Someone puts like snacks and drinks together in an ice box that's accessible to everyone, and you hang. I like infrastructure.
Yeah.
But we are definitely getting to the place in our year where we're gonna have to start going like full steam ahead on the summer activities. Yeah. It's inescapable. The energy is high. You gotta do it.
Oh yeah.
The sun is in the sky.
It's happening. And even if you don't even have to do outdoor stuff, like people are gonna come out, they're gonna wanna do board games too. Like, maybe they wanna do them inside, but they still want to leave their house to do it. And that's what I find. This is the time where people are wanting to actually leave their house, and I'm gonna take advantage of it because I'm kind of ready to leave my house too, even though Fallout 4 has been consuming my time in the most delightful way. But I just, a little bit of sun. I need to touch a little bit of grass. And I think that's what we all need to do. That's what we're all trying to do. Is just get outside, touch some grass, and reconnect with nature a little bit.
Yeah. What are you up to this summer, listeners? What are your summer hopes? Let us know in the comments, and we'll give you back your lunch break.
Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you next lunch break.
Bye.
Bye. This has been Steven.
And Laura.
Thanks for tuning into Midday Musings, the podcast where we talk about all the things on our mind. Be sure to follow us on Spotify and jump into the conversation in our polls and Q&As. We would love to hear from you. Catch you next lunch break.